Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Flags are flying at half staff at the U.S. Capitol in honor of Senator Dianne Feinstein. Coming up, a look back at her historic political career.
Today, Wake County Schools will swear in the new superintendent, a preview of Robert Taylor's plans for the system.
And WRAL goes over the edge for Special Olympics North Carolina. We are live in downtown Raleigh. That's Ashley Rowe preparing to make her way down a 30-story building. So excited for her. First, we begin this noon with breaking news. A Johnston County deputy has been fired.
The sheriff sent us the letter that spells out what led to that action. Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center with the explosive allegations.
Afternoon that Christopher Adcock was terminated from his job, choosing to fire shots over following a deputy department policy in an attempt to catch a car thief. We have a picture of Christopher Adcock here. The chase and crash happened Monday. Sheriff Steve Bizzell said that Adcock utterly failed to comply with policies. And according to the sheriff's office, Adcock was involved in the pursuit of a stolen vehicle when that vehicle hit his cruiser. He fired five shots, but no one was hit. That is when the pursuit ended. The suspect exited the vehicle, and without any additional threat to Adcock's safety, he fired his gun at the unarmed fleeing person who was not attempting to use physical or deadly force to escape. Now, the identity of that driver has not been released because that person is under 18. Bizzell is also asking the FBI whether Adcock should face any criminal charges. We will continue to follow the story.
Now to our other top story. Senator Dianne Feinstein, a vocal advocate of gun control measures who is known for trying to find common ground with Republicans, has died at age 90.
She was the longest serving female senator and the longest serving senator from California. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has more on the life and legacy of Senator Feinstein.
Dianne Feinstein, a leading woman senator for generations, whose political career in California was launched by tragedy. November 1978, San Francisco Mayor George Moscone and Board of Supervisors member Harvey Milk were assassinated in City Hall. Then Board of Supervisors President Dianne Feinstein tried desperately to save Milk's life.
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed.
The event cementing her passion for gun reform. She was elected mayor and became a national figure on Democratic nominee Walter Mondale's shortlist for running mate before he chose Geraldine Ferraro.
I've had an opportunity now to be the first woman and the first mayor to be asked to go through an interview process. And I view that as a major opening of a door and something that's very important to do.
It was the Clarence Thomas hearings before an all-male Senate Judiciary Committee in 1991 that got Feinstein to the Senate, as she recalled in 2018.
And what did I see but an all-male Senate Judiciary Committee grilling Anita Hill? And it was not nice, and it was not what one would like to see. And that was my incentive to run in 1992.
After her decisive Senate win, then-Senator Joe Biden made her the first woman on the Judiciary Committee. In Congress, she quickly made an impact, leading the charge for an assault weapons ban in 1994. As Senate Intelligence Chair, she took on the CIA's waterboarding of prisoners, holding hearings into the Bush administration's harsh interrogation techniques. But in later years, colleagues faltered her performance during Supreme Court confirmations, praising Republican Lindsey Graham for getting Trump nominee Amy Coney Barrett confirmed just weeks before the 2020 election.
This has been one of the best set of hearings that I've participated in.
But through political and personal trials, Dianne Feinstein's legacy as a trailblazer endures. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, Feinstein was fondly remembered by colleagues today, many outpouring a lot about her. Senator Tom Tillis writing, Senator Dianne Feinstein was a trailblazer who lived an incredible life dedicated to public service. She was one of the most effective legislators in recent memory. Also, Senator Ted Budd sharing his thoughts here. Amy, Kate, and I send our condolences to the family and friends of Senator Dianne Feinstein. While we disagreed politically, she was a trailblazer in the Senate, and we respect her decades of service to this institution.
Michelle, thanks. Speaker Kevin McCarthy's days may be numbered. Today, the House is poised to vote on a measure to prevent a government shutdown, but opposition from within the GOP puts its passage at risk. At least 8 House Republicans are against or are leaning against the short-term funding stopgap.
On this
with Democrats
vote,
expected to universally oppose it, Republicans can afford to lose only 4 votes, assuming full attendance. We'll have a closer look at where the vote stands in our next half hour.
Within the next hour, Wake County Schools will have a new superintendent to lead more than 160,000 students. The state's largest school district is swearing in Dr. Robert Taylor. WRL's Aaron Thomas is live at the Wake County School Board headquarters, where we will hear from the district's new leader for the first time. Aaron?
Yeah, Jeff, and it's shaping up to be a big day here at the state's largest school district. This parking lot's actually filling up as people want to witness Dr. Robert Taylor get sworn in. He's no stranger to North Carolina, having spent time as a superintendent in Bladen County Schools, as well as the deputy state superintendent for 2 years here in North Carolina. Actually, within the past 20 minutes, we just wrapped up a one-on-one interview with Dr. Taylor. You can see it on your screen right here. He has a number of challenges ahead of him. You're talking about funding for the school district. There's bus driver shortages and making up for learning loss for students brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. Since he's been in town, he's had a chance to tour some of the schools throughout the district, meeting some of the students and staff involved in Wake County Schools. The swearing-in ceremony gets underway at 1 o'clock this afternoon. I'll have live reports beginning at 4 o'clock and highlight that one-on-one interview and talk about some of the challenges he plans to take on during his first 100 days on the job. Jeff?
Can't wait for his plans for the future. Aaron Thomas, live for us this noon. Thank you.
A Proud Boys member who vanished after he was convicted for his role in the January 6th Capitol attacks is now in the custody of the FBI. In May, a judge found Christopher Worrell guilty of several charges, including assault and using a dangerous weapon. He was allowed to await sentencing on house arrest, but vanished in August. Prosecutors had sought a 14-year sentence. The Department of Homeland Security is investigating a ransomware attack on a government contractor. Johnson Controls, a major manufacturer of alarm and building automation systems, was hacked last week. It caused disruptions to IT systems and knocked some of the company's subsidiary websites offline. Officials are trying to determine if any sensitive security information was compromised, including any personally identifiable information of Homeland Security officials.
The IBMA Bluegrass Festival is leaving Raleigh after more than a decade. The party isn't over just yet, though. We still have 2 years to enjoy the event. WRL is a proud community sponsor. Brian Schrader is in the middle of all the action downtown with fan reaction to the festival's decision to leave. Brian.
Well, we're focused on the party right now, Jeff. It's just getting started on Fayetteville Street. I'm not doing any picking and grinning. I'm just doing the grinning because I don't know what to do with this thing. But this is a highly Instagrammable place here on Fayetteville Street as we celebrate bluegrass music in downtown Raleigh. And as the party gets started, we have blocks and blocks of fun out here with music. We have food trucks. There's an art market. All of this getting started right now in downtown Raleigh and lasting through tomorrow. It is a huge deal down here. But as you mentioned, next year is the last World of Bluegrass in Raleigh. However, the city is promising another music festival in 2025 that celebrates Americana music. And I talked with one fan who is hopeful about that new festival.
I'm excited about that, and having a variety of music, but we really love bluegrass.
Indeed, and that's been on the mind of a lot of fans out here, is to make sure that bluegrass is a major part of that new festival starting in 2025. But here this weekend, you will have plenty of bluegrass up and down Fayetteville Street from City Plaza all the way out to the Capitol Building. Check out our story in the WRL News app for a list of what's going on out here, all the parking, everything you need to know to come to downtown Raleigh and have a really good time this weekend. Back to you, Jeff.
Plenty of skilled musicians down there, Brian, to learn that picking part, but keep on grinning. Thank you. Live from the IBMA Bluegrass Festival. WRL, as I said, is a proud community sponsor of the festival. Brian will be there until 2 o'clock this afternoon, followed by Keely Arthur, and then Elizabeth Gardner will be down there tonight. Tomorrow, it's Matt Tallhelm, Scott Mason, and Ashley Rowe.
Ashley has a busy weekend. Before she takes in the Bluegrass Festival, she's getting ready to rappel down a 30-story building in downtown Raleigh, all for a great cause. Let's check in with Ashley right now, right before she goes over the edge. Ashley, great to see you. What a challenge to take on. Give it to us straight. How are you feeling? What's your mindset?
So, Renee, I've got to tell you, I am currently hanging with a few ropes over the Wells Fargo Tower. And if you hear the shakiness in my voice, it's because I refuse to look down to see what is below me. But you can take a look. This is all for an awesome cause, though, for the Special Olympics in North Carolina. This is something I have never done before, guys. And again, I have not looked down, so you know better than I do what is below me at this point.
Yeah, we're looking down and you're up pretty high, that's for sure. Yeah, don't look down. You know, a lot of people who are offered the opportunity to go down one of Raleigh's tallest buildings, they would be like, no way. What made you want to do this?
Well, I can understand why people don't want to do this. I have probably applied 6 layers of deodorant so far this morning. Like, I'm very, very nervous. But here's the deal. My cousin's daughter is a Special Olympics athlete in Canada, and I have seen firsthand the joy that Ella has being a participant in all these amazing sports. She's run track and won all these awesome medals and just has built such community. So when I found out about this opportunity to raise a bit of awareness about Special Olympics North Carolina, I had to jump at the opportunity, even if it meant facing 30 stories of fear.
Ashley, you've got this, doing this for Special Olympics North Carolina. We're going to let you get started, but we'll be checking in on you throughout the hour.
Okay,
and we'll chat with you once again once your feet touch the ground. Okay. Can't wait. You got this.
Thanks.
I think she's frozen.
Yeah.
She's frozen right there. Oh, my goodness.
She's going to do great.
Good for her. Mm-hmm. She'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Next at noon, celebrity Sharon Osbourne shares her medical struggles with taking Ozempic to lose weight. What she is warning others about her experience.
Also, gun suicides are at record levels. The difference among states with varying gun laws.
Plus, a couple in Texas tried to sell a jaguar cub without a license, the prison time they could face. Elizabeth.
And we're about to embark on a busy, busy weekend of outdoor events. We still have a lot of cloud cover showing up here on the satellite picture. We'll go over Futurecast and I'll show you when those clouds move out where you are. Coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Gun suicide levels are vastly different across the nation depending on their gun laws. A new report from a nonprofit found that states with the weakest gun safety laws, like Mississippi and Arkansas, saw the rate of gun suicides jump almost 40% over the past 2 decades. In contrast, states with the strongest safety laws saw rates decrease slightly over that same time period.
Tesla is once again at the center of a lawsuit alleging racism at one of its factories. This time, the U.S. government accuses the automaker to have allowed repeated and overt displays of racism toward black employees at the factory in Fremont, California. Racial slurs, including the N-word, were allegedly used by non-black employees when speaking to black employees at the factory. The suit also alleges instances of racist taunts and threats, including death threats. It also claims black employees who complained about the behavior were subject to retaliation. Sharon Osbourne is sharing her experience taking Ozempic to lose weight. Osbourne says she endured a few weeks of nausea and said she was also often thirsty and had no desire to eat. The celebrity says she's lost 42 pounds, but did not intend to drop that much weight. Ozempic and its sister drug, Wegovy, work by mimicking a hormone that the body naturally makes to slow the passage of food through the stomach, which helps people feel fuller longer.
A startling reminder of deer mating season after a deer jumped from an overpass and crashed through the windshield of a car below on a highway. A freak accident happened in New Jersey, causing a two-vehicle accident. The doe went through the windshield and landed under the steering wheel. Sadly, it died. Remarkably, the driver only suffered minor injuries. A Texas couple faces up to 5 years in prison and thousands of dollars in fines for trying to sell a jaguar cub without a license.
They are the first to be charged under the Big Cat Act, established in December. It bans the importation, transportation, sale, and possession of prohibited wildlife species. Jaguars are a prohibited species. Authorities say the couple also sold a Margay cub for $7,500 to an undercover agent.
We have some exciting news to share about our fearless leader here at WRAL. The North Carolina Association of Broadcasters honored our news director, Rick Gall, with a Distinguished Service Award. The award recognizes outstanding service in the broadcasting industry. Of course, we couldn't agree more. Rick has been an important part of our station since 1995 and has been serving as our news director since 2005. He led our team through the biggest stories of our time, including the COVID pandemic, where we had to learn new ways of producing daily newscasts. Rick is a public servant at heart and very deserving of this award.
I've been afforded the opportunity to be a journalist in the truest sense. In this job, I've been able to lead others on a primary mission of serving the community. What we do really, really does matter.
Angus Barn hosted the event, and former WRAL News anchor David Crabtree was also honored and inducted into the North Carolina Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. David and Rick, we congratulate you on your incredible service to this community, the state, the broadcasting industry, and to WRAL. We are so fortunate to have worked with two of the best in the business.
Nobody better in the business. Don't miss out on the Triangle's newest walk-through holiday light event. More than 13,000 lights covering 4 miles will transform the stands at the DBAP into a fantastic light show. Grab a tube, hit one of the frosty fun hill slopes, or hop aboard the Bulls Express and travel around the outfield in style. This all happens November 22nd through New Year's Eve. To purchase tickets, you can go to WRL.com.
All right, we're going to check in and see how Ashley Rowe is doing. She is in the process of rappelling down the Wells Fargo building in downtown Raleigh, slowly making her way down over the edge for Special Olympics North Carolina.
All right, you can almost see her there. Down, it's 30 stories, mm-hmm. right? Huge look there, and they have this set up. And, you know, she's probably not too hot out there. No sun shining right now, still the clouds hanging in there. We'll check back in with her in just a little bit. Elizabeth sees her over there.
Can you point her out?
Clinging to the edge, right?
Pull it up over here. I can point her out.
It's kind of hard to see from our vantage point, yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay, so she's right there.
If you pull it up on the big screen, it's probably really hard for you guys to see at home because we've got this kind of shrunken down, but she's right there. So she looks like she's about a third of the way, maybe a quarter of the way down, working her way down. Boy, I know what that feels like. The year that I did it, I thought, you go over the edge and then you're fine, right? I didn't feel fine until I was maybe about to here, and then I was like, okay, we're almost done. I'll tell you what, it is scary, but for such a great cause. So kudos to Ashley for being out there. Just down the street, this is Fayetteville Street, just down a couple of blocks from where she is right now. You can see Fayetteville Street has all the tents set up for IBMA Bluegrass Live. It's a little breezy out there. You can see the trees here on Fayetteville Street moving around. People in and out, certainly, but you can tell that it is still gray out there. We are looking at cloudy skies and 68 degrees. We are likely to see some sunshine, but the computer models have pushed that back a little bit more. It may be closer to 4 or 5 o'clock before we see a whole lot of sunshine in downtown Raleigh. But here's a look at the potential forecast. We should climb on up into the upper 70s by around 3 or 4 o'clock, and we should start to see some sunshine. And then clearing through the evening, nice and cool by 10 or 11. The music does go that late. Could be in the mid-60s. So obviously, if you're headed out there, you're probably taking your jacket because it's pretty chilly right now. We have a low pressure system that continues to hang around offshore. It looked like it was going to move away a little faster, but it's just taking its time, and that's why we continue to see the cloud cover. This is a look at our high resolution satellite. We're starting to see the cloud cover erode a little bit south and west of Fayetteville. I've been pulling up cameras, and it's really cloudy pretty much everywhere, but very, very slowly, we're starting to see the back edge of that cloud cover eroding. Our temperatures right now, 63 in Roxborough, 70 in Fayetteville, where we're seeing a bit more sunshine, and we're in the upper 60s pretty much elsewhere. A little breezy out there, too. Winds 5 to 10 miles per hour still coming out of the north. Looking at 78 in Raleigh, 77 Durham, and 80 degrees for the high temperature in Fayetteville. And we'll watch that cloud cover continue to erode as we head through the afternoon. At 2 o'clock, we should start to see a little bit of sunshine around, say, Siler City and Southern Pines. By 4 to 5 o'clock, we should see it in the Triangle area. And then it may be 7 or 8 o'clock before we start to clear in our eastern counties, and you know, that's about sunset. 79 is our normal high. We have some beautiful weather in our forecast. Saturday and Sunday should be brighter. However, we may start off with a little bit of cloud cover in the morning. We'll see some sunshine in the afternoons. Football Friday looks good. By the time games start, most of the clouds should be out. Our temperatures will be mainly in the mid-70s. A number of schools have homecomings for tonight, and the weather looks fantastic for that. Temperatures will be dropping into the upper 60s. And looking ahead to Sunday, the Vikings play in Charlotte. They play the Panthers starting at 1 o'clock. If you're going to be there for the game, temperatures around lunchtime in the mid-70s. At game time, 76, and then climbing into the upper 70s during the afternoon. Looking lovely with lots and lots of sunshine. We'll continue to have sunshine around here, too. Mostly sunny skies after a little cloud cover Saturday and Sunday morning. And then, of course, looking at lovely conditions for the remainder of the week. We have a couple of systems in the tropics that are hanging around. I'll show you where those are headed coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A New York businessman gambled on a new project in Las Vegas, and now he hopes it pays off. We're getting a look inside the Sphere. Welcome back. We give you another look at the Wells Fargo building there on the left, and on the right, that is Ashley Rowe making her way down in honor of Special Olympics. She has gone over the edge, and she's down, that looks like about 15 of the 30 floors to get back down on the ground safely. What a great cause for Special Olympics North Carolina.
Almost there, Ashley. It's the glittering new addition to the Las Vegas skyline. You've probably seen what it looks like from the outside.
But NBC's Gadi Schwartz takes us inside the Sphere ahead of the grand opening.
Right off the Vegas Strip is the future of entertainment in a way only science fiction could predict. Some calling it eye-catching. To others, it's out of this world. And when words fail, there's always an emoji.
But this 366-foot shimmering exosphere is just the beginning, because what's inside there is even more mind-blowing.
What is your name?
My name's Gadi.
And I'm Jim.
Gadi.
We've met
Jim,
before.
Welcome to Sphere.
What just beyond five today? Aura robots is a taste of the most baffling sound system in the world.
You're isolating each instrument.
I'm isolating each instrument into a beam.
All of this starting with a simple sketch from Jim Dolan, owner of some of the most storied venues on Earth, who decided to reimagine entertainment with a $2.3 billion gamble in the desert.
What was your reaction when you saw it turn on?
Well, I was enchanted, too. I mean, it was awesome. We designed it, we visualized it, and it's so big.
And finally, inside the sphere within a sphere, 168,000 square feet of high-definition LEDs, 167,000 speakers, 17,000 seats, and 10,000 of them powered by haptics.
It's impossible to describe, right? It's like trying to explain what a peanut butter and jelly sandwich tastes like to somebody who's never tasted one.
This weekend, U2 claiming the first residency, followed closely by another fully immersive experience called Postcards from Earth, all about this even bigger sphere that we all call home. Gadi Schwartz, NBC News, Las Vegas.
That is something out of this world. Dolan also controls properties including the Chicago Theater, Madison Square Garden, and Radio City Music Hall.
Coming up on our evening news, a popular Mexican food paradise in Sanford involves a family tradition.
Out of all her siblings, my mom's the one that has, you know, that one particular taste that's just like my grandmother's. I just so happen to have it as well.
Find out how this restaurant is attracting not only local customers, but from people from all across the country tonight at 5:30. Still to come on this newscast, Democrats and Republicans can't seem to agree on a new budget, which means a government shutdown. After the break, what's holding up progress?
Plus, we're just days away from the start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And coming up, we'll talk live with the head of a local nonprofit about her efforts to help people get tested. Also, here's a look at your NC Education winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The oldest member of the Senate, the longest-serving female senator, and the longest-serving senator from California is dead. Senator Dianne Feinstein served 30 years in the Senate. She's remembered as a vocal advocate of gun control measures, environmental protection, and reproductive rights. She's also known for finding common ground with Republicans. Before her election to the Senate in 1992, Feinstein served as the first female mayor of San Francisco. She was 90 years old.
Congress is in a race against the clock to reach a funding deal before Sunday's deadline. Many government workers will still be required to work without a paycheck, except lawmakers. Rebecca Castor takes a look at the issues dividing Congress.
With little time left to stop a government shutdown, Congress still does not have a clear plan.
I've seen this movie before. It never ends very well. And a government shutdown hurts everybody.
Lawmakers have until Saturday night to pass a new spending bill. But House Speaker Kevin McCarthy can't seem to rein in his far-right colleagues who want to slash the budget. In the Senate, Republicans and Democrats are working together on a bill to fund the government for 6 weeks, but it likely won't pass in time, with the House chugging away on a separate interim bill that includes border security.
No longer can the president ignore a problem he created that kills Americans every single day.
It appears a shutdown, possibly the fourth in a decade, is inevitable. And the White House says it won't be to blame.
This is between Speaker McCarthy and a small group of House Republicans that want to hold the entire U.S. government hostage.
If not, many government operations will grind to a halt on Sunday. Millions of federal employees and military service members will miss paychecks for now.
Let's say it goes a month, which was the length of the shutdown back in 2018-19, then things start to happen.
Ripple effects could ultimately impact small businesses, buying a home, clinical trials, and travel.
It's just a matter of time before the chaos in Congress leads to chaos at airports.
And raking right now in the WRAL Live Center, McCarthy managed to get Republicans on board with his short-term funding bill to fund the government through October 31st, or at least he got everybody to agree to start debating on that. The rule passed today, 218-210, but the CR is still expected to fail. McCarthy has really rallied his troops around the CR, which includes across-the-board spending cuts. That vote is expected just after 1 o'clock today.
Michelle, thanks. The United Auto Workers Union is expanding the strike. A short time ago, the union announced plans to spread the strike to a Ford plant in Chicago and a GM factory near Lansing, Michigan. The union confirmed yesterday that submitted a counteroffer to Stellantis during its first high-level meeting, giving the company less than 24 hours to respond ahead of the new deadline. Today marks 2 weeks since auto workers first hit the picket line. Possible child labor law violations at two chicken processing companies is causing the Department of Labor to investigate. The Purdue Farms and Tyson Foods investigation follows a report from the New York Times earlier this month. The report mentioned an underage migrant worker was severely injured while working for a sanitation company hired by Purdue in Virginia. Purdue says it plans to cooperate. Tyson has yet to comment.
We have an update to a story we first brought you as breaking news earlier this week. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office has obtained a warrant for first-degree murder on a South Carolina man for the killing of Henry Downing Jr. Tuesday morning. The Sheriff's Office says Thomas Blake is in custody in Georgetown, South Carolina. WRL's breaking news tracker was on the scene Tuesday morning on Lady Slipper Drive in Fayetteville, where officers found Downing with gunshot wounds. He died at that scene. Raleigh police are investigating a shooting that sent one person to the hospital. This happened on South Saunders Street last night. The WRL breaking news tracker was on the scene while several officers and first responders were there. We're told one adult was hurt and taken to the hospital. A person is expected to survive. No word yet on a suspect or arrests.
Sunday marks the start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a time to educate women and men about the importance of having annual breast exams. Joining us to talk about her mission to serve the community and a special opportunity is Terry Spicer. She's the founder and CEO of the SISI, which stands for Sisters Inspiring Sisters Incorporated. Terry, great to have you on the program. Now, for our viewers who might not be familiar with your organization, talk to us about how it got started and the overall mission.
Hello, Renee. Thank you so much for having me. We provide transportation assistance primarily to cancer patients to get to their treatment, radiation, chemotherapy, because transportation should not be a hindrance. And the cysty was really started because my best friend, I drove her the last year of her life. She had breast cancer. So it is near and dear to the work, our mission, our goals, because women really truly have to get their mammograms, and we need to break up all of the disparities. Renee, yes.
Well, and Terry, you've been serving the community for 10 years through the CISI. What keeps you going?
Knowing that we give a lift. People call us and they send the nicest messages saying that what we provide to them really truly helps them to have hope. Because again, cancer is hard. The expenses are hard. And if we can help them at least get there, it gives them the opportunity to get in front of these medical doctors to help give them opportunities to defeat, to fight. And we just really want to continue to be a partner in their journey to get them there because we believe in them and we want to help them. And that was what my experience with Gwen Bishop, my best friend, was to start this organization.
And you give those women who are going through breast cancer a lift, literally and figuratively. You recently launched the Lift Your Pearls and Check Your Girls campaign. How'd you come up with that name?
You know, everything about me is pearls. And so, I don't know, it just came. I was really tickled saying, you know, we talk about lift. And I said, lift your pearls. And it stuck. And since we launched this in October of 2021, over 500 women across the country have gotten their annual mammograms. We're really excited about that.
And let's let folks know about the October 30th event where you're going to host a mobile mammography event.
Yes, we've partnered with UNC Rex Mammography. They will have their mobile unit there on site at the CISI's headquarters located at 4801 Glenwood Avenue. There is a pre-registration process. And so we want them, they'll be there from 9 to 3 that day. It will be inside the mobile unit. I've had that done, and it's really a neat way, and it's confidential, it is private. So we really want to help women get the screening that could help prevent breast cancer or give them a wonderful opportunity to help fight it. So yes, that is our mission. Yes.
So important. Ladies, mark your calendar for October 30th. Terry, I understand you've also been nominated for a prestigious award for organizations that serve cancer patients. That's awesome. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you.
College game day is coming to Durham to give Duke football some national attention. We'll tell you how the university is getting ready for its close-up. And we take you back out to Ashley Rowe making her way down the Wells Fargo building, raising money for Special Olympics North Carolina. And yes, the shock and fear, and she's made it. Yes. Congratulations. We have a touchdown of a different sort right here. That is great. Thumbs up, Ashley. Great job. Congratulations. Talk to her in just a minute. College football's game day is in the triangle for Duke's big matchup against Notre Dame.
The game day bus is in Durham, setting up for the big day tomorrow. It's the first time the show has come to the Bull City for football. Crews were setting up the outdoor set yesterday on Duke's Able Quad. Organizers say they've been preparing for days. And ESPN announced comedian and actor Ken Jeong will join the panel as the guest picker for the game. Jeong is best known for his role in the Hangover film series, as well as the NBC sitcom Community. He is a proud Duke alum.
Carolina Panthers are on the prowl once again this weekend, looking for their first win. They're taking on the Minnesota Vikings, who are also looking for win number one. You can watch that 1 o'clock on Fox 50 Sunday, followed by the Patriots and Cowboys. And after that is over, you can turn it to WRAL for Football Night in America. Then Sunday Night Football right after that, Kansas City Chiefs take on the New York Jets at 8:15.
happening right now in the WREL Live Center. We're following some huge breaking news out of Las Vegas. Las Vegas police say they have arrested a man in the deadly 1996 drive-by shooting of Tupac Shakur. The case has frustrated investigators and fascinated the public ever since the hip-hop icon was gunned down 27 years ago on the Las Vegas Strip. Dwayne Keffi D. Davis was arrested earlier this morning, although the exact charge or charges were not immediately clear. This is breaking news. We'll have more at 4 o'clock.
Scientists may have found a way to make ice cream using recycled plastic. We'll explain how the process works. And Ashley did it. She just finished rappelling down a 30-story building.
The edge.
And we'll be talking with her in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Welcome back this afternoon. What a new newscast this is. Ashley Rowe has conquered the Wells Fargo building. Ashley, have you ever been happier to have both feet on the ground?
No, I am so happy to have both feet on the ground, but that was a really cool experience. I don't know actually how long that took me. It felt like 2 hours, but it may have only been about 15 minutes. But what a neat experience it was. And Elizabeth, I know you've done it too. Probably like the coolest thing was seeing my reflection. At first, it was terrifying seeing my reflection in the whole city skyline behind me. But then as I got a bit more comfortable, then I was thinking, wow, what a neat experience to be able to see my reflection and the city behind me as I'm coming down this tower.
I had, when I did it a few years ago, I had one of the people who was running it. You've got your radio right here. And I'm just, you know, like stiff as a board trying to go down the building. And she said, don't forget to look around at the pretty view. I'm like, and this is what I did. Okay, there, I looked at it. So I know how you feel. What was it like when you took those first steps down the building?
I was pretty nervous, but I had such a great team with me who were all saying, like, we got you. Look at all of these ropes. Everything is very, very safe. So all of that assurance made me feel like it was pretty neat. But when they said, okay, now you've got to push off. You got to stretch your legs out and push off. And I was like, my legs won't move. I don't know how to do that. It took me a little bit.
Anybody working today inside the building? Did you say hi to anybody?
You know, that was the thing. I was hoping to see people to be able to wave, but I was maybe, I don't know, this is just tells you about who I am, but all I could see was myself and the reflection behind me with the city skyline. I was dialed in. But guys, this is what more than 100 people are going to get to do tomorrow. And now that I've got 2 feet on the ground, I get to get a medal. Look at this. I even get to stand up on the podium. Look at
this. You did.
This is very exciting.
You did.
Very thrilling to be a part of this. Thank you so much. So I will leave you,
there you go,
with this. How about that, guys?
I love it. Well deserved.
For Special Olympics North Carolina.
Over the edge. Elizabeth, that's the toughest part, right? The first few steps.
Oh, absolutely.
Going over
Great
the edge.
Great job, Ashley. We're so proud of you. And it's for such a good cause. It's such a fun thing. And I know she'll be able to relax a little bit now. We take a look outside. We still have a lot of cloud cover across the viewing area. This is a live look at Pinehurst here at the Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. And, you know, we usually have a wide view, and I just realized that they have all these croquet courts. So folks out there dressed in white enjoying a little croquet this afternoon. That's one of the first places where we'll likely see some sunshine. And Futurecast is showing the sunshine breaking out in Southern Pines, Pinehurst by about 2 o'clock. Same thing across parts of Chatham County and maybe around Roxborough. It looks like, you know, by 4 o'clock or so, we should see some sunshine around Durham and Raleigh, but it may be 5 or 6 o'clock before we see that around Rocky Mount and Goldsboro. It's just moving very slowly out there. Lots of events happening over the weekend. Of course, as Ashley said, a lot of folks are going to be rappelling tomorrow down the Wells Fargo building. If you're headed to the Louisville versus NC State game tonight, good tailgating weather. Temperatures will be in the upper 70s around 5 o'clock. Game time, mid-70s. And then, of course, toward the end of the game, looking at mid-60s. Huge day tomorrow at Duke. Notre Dame plays. It's college game day with ESPN. They're going to be looking at thousands of people out there for game day, which starts at 9 a.m. They broadcast that on ESPN. Temperatures will be in the mid-60s at that point. And then it'll be a really pleasant day. We may start with some cloud cover, and then we'll see some sunshine breaking out. 7:30, temperatures around 70, and at 10 o'clock, 66. So that's a lot going on there. Tracking the tropics, we have our two systems, Philippe and Rena. Rena has winds at 45 miles per hour.
hour. It's going to move very slowly, then swing northward and dissipate by early next week. We take a look at Philippe, also winds at 45 miles per hour. It moves very slowly, finally swings around, but it's likely to intensify. It's possible that it will be close to hurricane strength, and that is new today. But watch where it's headed. It is likely to move northward around the same path that Rena takes and then move off to the north and east and away from land. Beach forecast tomorrow. We started to see the high temperatures dropping a little bit. Highs will be in the mid-70s for tomorrow and Sunday, but we'll see a good bit of sunshine at the coast. It should be a beautiful weekend at the beaches. Mountain forecast for tomorrow, a range. We'll see temperatures close to 80 perhaps in Asheville, but in the mid-60s up at Grandfather Mountain, and a little bit cooler on Sunday, close to 80 in Asheville, and of course some 60s in some of the higher elevations. And some of those highest elevations are beginning to see some hints of color. So Grandfather Mountain, Mount Mitchell, you'd see a little splattering of color already, but anytime in the month of October, you're going to find some color in the mountains. For our weekend, 79 Saturday, 80 on Sunday. It looks beautiful, and we continue with pretty weather into next week.
It could be the first of its kind, ice cream made from plastic.
We have the tools today to rethink the food system we're living in.
How the sweet tree could revolutionize food production and consumption. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. A Johnson County deputy has been terminated for firing five shots at a fleeing suspect who did not pose an immediate threat. The sheriff's office says Deputy Christopher Adcock was chasing a suspect who struck his cruiser in a stolen car, then drove off. His termination letter called the deputy's use of force, quote, clearly excessive. It also asks the DA to consider criminal charges.
Flags are flying at half staff in Washington, D.C. right now to mourn the death of Senator Dianne Feinstein. She was the oldest member of the Senate, the longest serving female senator, and the longest serving senator from California. Senator Feinstein died in her San Francisco home. She was 90 years old.
And within the next hour, Wake County Schools will have a new superintendent. Robert Taylor served as deputy superintendent at the State Department of Public Instruction and spent 10 years leading Blaine County Schools. The swearing-in ceremony begins at 1 o'clock. Watch it live on WRAL.com.
Only 9% of the world's plastic waste is recycled. Now scientists are trying to figure out how to use plastic in unique ways. A team in Scotland says they've found a way to break down plastic waste and turn it into a molecule that tastes like vanilla. A London artist took that idea a step further by creating what she says is the first edible ice cream made from plastic. It's now part of an art installation called Guilty Flavors.
This project started from a very big frustration about how the plastic recycling system cannot keep up, and also that despite all the information around plastic, plastic production is not decreasing.
The ice cream will have to go through the same regulatory processes and food standard processes as any other food ingredient before it hits store shelves.
I want to know, does it taste good?
I know.
Our pet of the day is a gentle older guy looking for a nice quiet home to spend his retirement. Highlander is a 10-year-old neutered male dog weighing 83 pounds. He found himself at the shelter after, sadly, his previous owner died. Highlander is good with other dogs and kids, but he doesn't get along well with cats. He likes exploring new spaces and being fairly independent. His favorite foods on earth are cheese and peanut butter. For more information about Highlander, please visit spcawake.org.
Coming up on our news at 4, it is a local take on America's Got Talent. We introduce you to the aspiring dancers, singers, and performers working at UNC hospitals in our area. Maybe another local entry coming.
Ooh, that'd be exciting. Talk about a close call. A large group of stingrays in Florida narrowly escaped being shark food. A drone operator had been filming a shark, but as he turned his drone around, he noticed hundreds of stingrays. The shark closed in on them and began its pursuit. The stingrays used a few slick moves. They got away, and the shark got away hungry. Just wasn't able to catch them. Oh, NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Have a great weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.